You're very welcome back to Horizons.
Gerard Hanley from Alpha Ireland, thanks very much for joining us this morning on Horizons.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about Alpha, Gerard, because I've heard about it and I've come across it, but I don't know a lot and I've never been involved in any programme.
Great. Yeah, well, Alpha began as a course to introduce people to the Christian faith who wouldn't have much experience of Christianity originally in the Anglican Church in London, a church called Holy Trinity Brompton. And it was a guy called Nicky Gumbel who really pioneered it and established it as what it is today. And so today, literally millions of people all over the world go through the Alpha course to explore the basics of the Christian faith. And in a way that is open and honest and free, we place a high emphasis on welcome, on hospitality, on invitation. And we really want to create spaces where people can have conversations about God, about life, faith, meaning, in a way that's open and honest. So there's the Alpha film series for adults, and there's the Alpha youth series for young people. There's also a marriage course, a parenting course, and a parenting teenagers course.
And it's Christian, not specifically Catholic.
Yeah, that's one of the beauties of Alpha, is that we really focus on the basics of the Christian faith. So who is Jesus? Why did he die? How can I have faith? How do I pray? And one of the reasons I think why it's so successful is because it expresses and it shows and it highlights what Christians all over the world agree on. And so Alpha is used in a multitude of contexts, including the Catholic Church. So I'm a Catholic myself. And it's used in the Catholic Church, but as I said, it originated in the Anglican Church, Lutheran, Orthodox, Evangelicals, non-denominationals. And the reason why it's so successful, I think, is because we're very passionate about unity in the church. We love to see unity among Christians, and because we focus on what we agree on, which is essentially the life, death and resurrection of Jesus.
And Gerard, how did you get involved in it first of all?
Well,
you're a Galway man.
I'm a Galway man, and I suppose my own faith came alive as a teenager when there was a teacher in my school who had great faith, and it was his witness, first of all, that really opened my heart and mind to the reality of God. And then he brought us on a number of retreats, and it was on those retreats that my faith really came alive through the sacraments, really through confession especially, and through an encounter with God in the Eucharist. So, I mean, I was an aspiring professional footballer at that stage. I played for...
Wow, you must be good at it.
Yeah, well, I ended up playing for Ireland from the age of under 15 up to under 19. And I played in the League of Ireland for 7 years after that. My career didn't really go in the direction that I was hoping it would. And my faith also was growing. And my work in ministry was developing and growing as well. So eventually, I left football at the age of 24, and I've been working full time in youth ministry since then. So that's, I'm now 32, so that's about 8 years now in full time youth ministry.
And go back to the football. Were you a dirty player?
Well, I mean, I was sent off once, but it wasn't exactly for anything dirty. It was,
and you definitely didn't do it.
Like. Yeah, I mean, I was a goalkeeper, and so I got plenty of dirt on me from diving around the goals. But I wouldn't have considered myself a dirty player. No, I was a determined player. I was very committed to the sport. I was very disciplined. I loved to train and train well and train hard. And you know, it was very painful, to be honest with you, to leave football. I originally began praying. I was kind of caught between praying, Lord, let your will be done no matter what, and Lord, bless my career and I'll talk about you in interviews, you know. So, but
that was a good deal. I mean, I can see why you'd be torn.
Yeah, well, in the end now, I don't know, a part of it was, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. One is God asking me to leave football behind to work full time in ministry. And the other part of it is God guiding me and shepherding me and taking care of me and leading me along the path in life that would ultimately make me most happy. And I don't regret leaving at all at the age of 24. Like I said, it's not like I left football earning millions and playing at a very high level. I was playing in the League of Ireland, and perhaps I could have had a successful career in the League of Ireland. But even then, I definitely think that overall my life has worked out so well in terms of just, you know, at the time when I left, I was not quite engaged, but close to. I think I got engaged about 2 years later and married 2 years after that. You know, I live in Dublin now with my wife and son, and we're very happy, and I'm very happy with how life has worked out, even without football.
But, you know, listening to you sound like a very disciplined, well-organized person. Youth ministry is really messy.
Well, it can be, yeah. It can be, but I love it. You know, one way of looking at it is simply that I have a heart for young people to know Jesus and know how much he loves them, because I know the impact that he's had on my life. I mean, he's had a massive impact on my life, and I don't know where I would be today only for him. And I think when you experience the good news, the natural reaction is to want to share it with others. But the other thing is that it is true. And yet, if you were to, I suppose, learn about reality, like what is real, what is true, simply from our culture today or from, let's say, everyday mainstream media, you probably wouldn't come to the conclusion that Jesus is alive, that he's risen from the dead, that he loves us, that he wants to transform our lives. But that is true. It is the reality. And I know so many people who have encountered him and who have a great relationship with him. So I think that element of it being true is one massive motivating factor. And the other is simply, you know, I've often considered myself a bit like Jonah, you know, Jonah, who God asked him to share an unpopular message with the people of Nineveh. And Jonah's reaction was to run away. And I did spend quite a lot of time resisting, I think, God's call, because it wasn't like I simply said, well, this is great, let's go for it. It was like, it's more like a sense of God inviting me, calling me to work for him in ministry. But it wasn't pleasant because I was afraid of what people would think. I was afraid of what I might have to give up. I mean, there was a lot of fear involved. Like, you know, in secondary school, following Jesus wasn't exactly going to win me popularity contests. You know?
You see, the big thing is the culture today. There's a real clash between the institutions of the church anyway and today's culture, which gives it very little heed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't necessarily even put it, I would just say that there is a, you could say, a spiritual crisis where so few people know the reality of God's love for them. And I think everything changes when you know that God is a Father in heaven who loves you and who has a good plan for your life and that it's real.
Jared, we'll take a piece of music now. Bernard Sexton, The Last Supper.
And said, do this, do this.
I'm in conversation with Gerard Hanley from Alpha.
I'm not a Catholic because I'm necessarily attracted to everything that I've seen and experienced within the Catholic Church over my lifetime, because the reality is that I would say in Ireland, while there are wonderful green shoots, and I mean, I think one of the things that I love about the church is when you see the beauty of the church in small pockets, or when you experience how beautiful the church can be, you want that for the whole church. And I want that for the whole church. I want the beauty of the faith that I've experienced and I've seen in my life for the whole church. Unfortunately, I think the reality is that we are going through a time of change. And, you know, so I can understand, I suppose, why some people might be unattracted to the gospel, because I don't think we're always doing a very good job of proclaiming how beautiful and how wonderful the gospel is. And so there's a lot of work to be done, but there are a lot of good people all over Ireland doing a lot of good work. And even traveling to places like this and being on these days with dioceses, you get to see how many good, wonderful people are out there doing good work in the church. And so there's always hope. And there's, well, when we have God on our side, you know, there's always hope.
And as director of Alpha Youth, what achievements have you had? Where do you see your own successes?
I think one of the biggest shifts that we have tried to implement in the way that Alpha is run since I started was to introduce peer-led Alpha. So for the most part, Alpha Youth was ran by adults, whether that was youth ministers, teachers, or a combination between volunteers and youth ministers working in a school or in a parish setting or a church setting. And I was inspired through conversation with the lady who does my job in France, who basically said that they have a rule there where it's like no adults in the small groups. So the small groups in France are all youth led. So the young people have the conversations about life, faith, and meaning that we set up for them without adults. So we've been doing a lot of that. So I've been doing a lot of training, let's say, for example, transition year students or fifth year students to lead Alpha for their entire year group. So I've trained, like say, in various schools, I've trained over 25 young teenagers who then lead Alpha for the rest of their year. And that is really wonderful to see. I suppose I've had a sense coming into the job, and you might call it an inspiration from the Holy Spirit, that God wants to entrust responsibility to young people. I think God believes in young people more than we do. And I think there's a great openness in young people to the truth. I think there's more openness. I actually find there's probably more openness in young people than there is in adults to the reality of God sometimes. I mean, look, there's the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks type of thing. And I think there's an element of us getting stuck in our ways, but there's some element of young people just having this freedom about themselves to be able to explore and express themselves. And what we really want to do as well is, we want young people to be able to express their thoughts, their questions, their feelings, like I said at the beginning, in a way that's open and honest. That's the Alpha culture. Like, we do present the gospel very clearly, and it's through the video series. And we don't hold back on the message of Jesus, but we want young people to engage in it in a way that's very real. And we really trust that process, because we think that if young people engage with the gospel as it really is, like who Jesus really is, and what the gospel really is, then we trust that they'll hear the good news. And the good news is called good news for a reason. So we trust that they'll respond to it. I mean, a lot of the work that we do is, you might call it seed sowing. So I don't know how many young people all over Ireland, I mean, last year, over 3,000 young people experienced Alpha Youth, nearly 5,500 if you include all the adults as well. And I have heard stories of young people. I mean, one young man said to me he had faith when he was younger, but he kind of drifted away, and doing Alpha has really helped him to come back, you know. And there's been many more stories, and we do feedback, and we've got a standard feedback form now. And the amount of young people who basically will just say that they love it, that they would recommend it for others. The other part of it is one comment that a young person made that I really value. He said that it helped him with his faith, but he said, it's also about developmental skills, because I think that getting 5, 6, 7, 8 young people in a circle talking about questions of life, faith, and meaning is not easy to do. And it's not easy for young people to do, but I think giving them spaces to do that is so important. And from what I've seen talking to young people on the ground and seeing Alpha at work, I think they really appreciate it. I mean, I've heard young people say, it's like we were able to talk about it, as in faith, in a way that wasn't awkward. Or we were able to talk about questions that a lot of young people want to talk about, but we don't really have the space to do it. So really creating those spaces is so important. And I suppose there's a summary of of the work that we're doing and some of its fruit.
And for people listening who want to find out more about Alpha, where should they go?
Well, alphaireland.org is our website. And you'll find contact details there. I mean, if you're interested in running Alpha, we really like a personal approach. So we love to be able to meet people, whether that's in person or online on Zoom, or talk to people on the phone who want to run it. And we like to do personal training with people as well. Because I suppose with Alpha, it's free and it's available for anyone to run at any time, with or without our knowledge, because it's so readily available. But I think when it comes to running Alpha, we really want to emphasize the culture that it's meant to be ran in. If Alpha's not ran in the right culture, with all of the elements, hospitality, welcome, open conversation, invitation, and prayer — prayer behind the scenes is what I mean there, like intercession for the success of Alpha — then it's not going to work and it's not going to be Alpha. I mean, you can run the course, but if you're not welcoming, invitational, open, creating, giving people an opportunity to express themselves, it's not really what we're about. So if you want to find out more, yeah, go on our website, but get in touch, email me, jared@alphaireland.org, and I'd love to talk.
Jared Hanley, thank you very much for chatting to us this morning.
Thank you so much.
After the break, I chat with Dr. Margaret Nocton from Killorglin.